Hello, and welcome to UDL Research in 15 Minutes, where researchers share their findings about the implementation, the impact, and their introspective investigations of the UDL framework. I'm Louie Lord-Nelson, UDL author and leader. Today, I'm talking with Kathy Howery, who is a principal with Kate Consulting Incorporated, and she's a lecturer at the University of Alberta at Concordia University, and she's also on contract with the Ministry of Education. So she's a very busy person and she has a grandbaby. So this is very important. But welcome, Kathy. She is going to be talking about research that she and colleagues conducted and reported in an article titled More Than One Way, Stories of UDL and Inclusive Classrooms. Hi, Kathy. How are you?
I'm well, Louie. How are you?
I'm good. So can you share a little bit about your background? Because I know it's incredibly varied and people are going to be very curious.
Sure. Yeah. Some people call me a fish unique, which is, en français. So I actually came from a background of psychology and psycholinguistics and worked for a long time with kids with really significant disabilities in the context that most people would think of an SLP, but I never really was too interested in kids that could talk. So and I came to it having done lots of APE studies and knew about Premax symbols, knew about Bliss, blah, blah, blah. So that was way back in the 80s. I was working in a private segregated school. And then the next, where I started using technology and Apple II computers and adaptive firmware cards and, all of this, that allowed these kids to do things that was amazing compared to, and allowed us to see in lots of ways that these kids were capable of doing so much more. So I then went to a totally inclusive preschool environment where I still did much of the same kind of work, but those kids were included from 2.5 to 5. Then was supposed to do a little bit of a jaunt at the rehabilitation hospital with the assistive device service. For many of you might know Dr. Al Cook. So he was the dean here and he has been a wonderful mentor to me. And it was actually Al that first got me interested in computers, but that's too long of a story for research in minutes. So during my time at the Glenrose, I actually used some of the early stuff from CAS, the Gateway Stories and the CAS e-reader. And I kind of feel like I grew up a little bit with AAC, AT, and UDL. And then I was seconded to work for the ministry to do the Assistive Technology Initiative. And I really went to CAST to the Summer Institute a few times and got what I now call a UDL addiction, because I keep saying, nope, I'm not doing this. I'm done with this. It confuses me too much. But I jokingly say I need a UDL 12-step program, because here I am coming right back at her again. So
I'm so glad. We love having you. You ask great questions. That gets to your interests and your work, but talk about what you're doing kind of right now. What are your big
right now? I'm massively involved in an initiative at the provincial level to work with kids with low incidence disabilities, and happily we are including kids with complex communication needs in our definition of low incidence, which is, I think, very unique, but also really appropriate. So my work is really trying to create more accessible opportunities, more inclusive opportunities for those kids. I also work with several jurisdictions in the province, continue to work on UDL. I kind of have a model where UDL is the base. UDL is what we think about doing before we get bums in seats, expecting diversity and expect, especially in those inclusive classrooms. And one of the things that I would talk about this research is I was astonished how few really inclusive classrooms, and I'm going to say this, especially in the States, we found quite a few up here, but in terms of kids with significant disabilities, intellectual disabilities. Mm-hmm. So I do that work. I teach on inclusive education and ethics and severe disabilities. And I've just started a certificate, or working with the U of A on a certificate for teaching kids with complex communication needs. So,
yeah. Nice. You know, I continue
to do some research with Alisa Lowry and Alex Hollingshead on UDL. So, because as I said, I just can't stop myself.
Yeah, I think it's so good. And you guys are so strong. You're such a strong trio. It's awesome. We have not clarified you're in Canada. So we just haven't said those words.
Hey, look at what I have.
There we go. Oh, I am Canada.
Yeah, I am. So I sometimes feel like I'm the token Canadian in this conversation, but that's not true. There are people in who are in the UDL conversation from Canada.
Yeah, well. It's true. It's true. So for this study, you and your co-authors, you decided to talk to general educators who were implementing UDL to create inclusive environments, and you were hoping to find educators who had at least one student with a severe disability in their classroom, but then you had to expand that to include students with moderate to severe.
And it was intellectual disability.
Intellectual disability.
But that was our challenge, is to find, that's U.S. language, general ed versus special ed. We don't kind of have that massive divide here. So in a typical classroom, in an everyday regular classroom, general ed stateside, we wanted them to be involved at the district that had a UDL initiative for at least 3 years. So, and this teacher had been following UDL for a year, and they all ended up to be women by coincidence, and who had, you're first looking for a child with significant intellectual disability. We had to change our search to mild or moderate to severe. And then we still even had kind of a problem with finding an inclusive situation.
Right.
That's one of the things that research that really kind of hurts my heart, that we just really aren't there.
Finding that. Well, I also was interested to notice that you guys use the narrative approach, and so valuing an individual story and understanding that you're going to need to dig into the depths of it. And then you did a thematic approach going across those, and you looked at your themes. And you, with those four themes, will you take us through those, which ones you identified in the end, and sure, just kind of how you move forward with that?
Sure. Yeah. So, right, we had quasi-structured interviews because we wanted to hit on some sort of questions that were similar, but we also let our participants go in directions that they wanted to go, which is part of that, narrative inquiry. Our four themes were that we found that across the board, they all talked about UDL as something that they used to design for, to address the variability that they had in their classroom. So they all talked about designing for learner variability. And I was going to be quite honest, Louis, when you asked me about this paper, I thought, holy smokes, I haven't thought about that paper for a long time. So it was really kind of fun to go back and read it. But really that was a consistent thing that across all of the seven, really, we didn't have a massive number. And again, I think that's because of our inclusion criteria. Mm-hmm. So we did find some. There's my dog barking. So, there's lovely stories here. I think it's a challenge for us all the time. It forces you out of your comfortable area. So while they found designing for diversity, even using the UDL framework, many of them still found it to be a challenge, right? Mm-hmm. So that's one. The second major theme was how they talked about inclusion. Because again, our criteria demanded that we that they were in an inclusive, they were teaching in an inclusive manner. So the overall connectedness between inclusive ed and UDL was really strong, mm-hmm, maybe because of who we got, but that's really important to me. From my point of view, I don't see, if all means all, and then how can we talk about classrooms that aren't inclusive? Right. Or how can we talk about UDL outside of inclusive education? For me, they're just so intricately entwined. And so I was happy to see that that was something that really was something that a lot of our participants talked about. And this is my favorite quote, and it's kind of, you know, you got to wonder if this kid didn't see some images or something. But when reflecting on UDL implementation and inclusion of students with moderate to severe intellectual disabilities, Sue shared one of the stories of her students. I had one student say, "It's kind of like the ramps and the stairs." And I said, "Well, what do you mean by that?" And he says, "Well, here's the thing. It's like if we all have to come up the stairs and it gets real crowded, but if someone's in the wheelchair, we could push that person up the ramps and we could all get in the ramps too." You know, so that's sort of the classic
Michael Giangreco cartoon
image. So I think maybe he's seen it, but I just loved that the kids had internalized that, right? That they just, you know what? It's going to be better for all in here together. We're going to benefit. So that's one of my favorite quotes in the inclusion piece. And another really strong piece that I think we all know, and this always, this is something that came to me the first time when I was at, probably the first time I was at the UDL thing in at Harvard, where Tom Herer said, we got to stop having egg crate classrooms and make omelets, you know, so teachers don't go in the door, close the door, nobody comes in here. And these teachers talked about what an important thing it was to have teams and teaming. Mm-hmm. And that included teams that went across the jurisdiction. They felt like they needed support at the top, as well as support, you know, sort of from the bottom and other people to work with. That was clearly important to them, as well as strong professional development. They all were felt really important, that it was critically important that they had really strong ongoing PD, and that was critical to their being able to implement UDL in sort of any capacity. So teams and PD was the third. And then the last one is probably, for me, this is always my quandary, is different descriptions of UDL.
Right.
So, you know, there was a significant difference in how these teachers described what UDL was and how they interpreted it, and how, so the language that gathered around that, some talked about UDL and individualized planning as the same thing. So it wasn't, which was kind of confusing, you know, okay, well, yes, of course we're individualizing, but isn't the idea of UDL that we're going to proactively get a lot of those barriers from the front so that we won't have to do so much individualizing? But for example, Julie had said they're on a complete and individualized plan. So their planning was completely, completely different. It was hard for me to square that with what we talk about with UDL. Okay. Then the other one, which is probably one of the things that really gets in my craw, I guess, is UDL is just good teaching. I was doing this already, and somebody just came and told me that what I was doing was UDL. And I'm sorry that my voice got a little, but if that's true, I mean, I know lots of wonderful teachers, and I suppose I could align much of what they're doing with the framework, but, you know, is that UDL? I mean, or is UDL actually intentionally thinking about what you're doing, intentionally thinking about the framework and putting that into practice? So this idea, well, I was already doing it and it's just good teaching, came up, and we wondered about that. Right. Technology and UDL. And I know even my colleagues and I probably vary a little bit on this. You know, two of them, our participants, just completely only talked about UDL in the context of technology. And, you know, while I probably tend to be the closer aligned, if not technology, to digital media, so that we can do some of that flexible design without having to retrofit everything. But, you know, according to, you know, Rose et al. In 2012, UDL is not synonymous with technology, and you can implement, you do UDL, implement the UDL framework without thinking about technology. And that's our last point, but maybe that is a nice segue to me to say, you know, that's been one of the biggest concerns that I've had, is that UDL definition seems to morph and twist and change, and and how do these teachers come to understand what it is that they're really about? So that was one of the findings that we, you know, probably were most, I suppose, concerned about, that the language is so broad, and again, for a concern of mine, and I know others, if UDL becomes everything, then does it become nothing at all? And that's right. You know, we didn't put that in the paper, but that's one of the,
but it is, it's an options. Extension of the belief. Yeah, so we are closing in on our 15 minutes, but I think that the some of the things that I had going on in my head when I re-reviewed the article, because I was like, oh, I really want to talk with somebody about this article. So I was so excited that you said yes. You know, I always think about what the takeaways would be if the pieces like this were, if teachers were thinking about it and administrators, right? And so hopefully folks would listen to this and take away. And so, like we were just talking about, that definition thing is so key. And I want to send people, you know, I send them to CAST a lot. I send them to CAST produced products because it's wide and varied enough that things are starting to kind of get a little fluffy around the edges at times. But I also want to encourage people to have more discourse about it and not be so absolutist. We have to have more discourse in the field as we're discovering. And I think that those, you know, CAST and the UDLIRN conferences are great places for that. And then those spaces for those things. But the other big, you know, takeaway for me though, when I thought about the four themes, that I loved hearing and reading the voices of the educators that were involved. And their personal kind of ahas. And those are so enlightening. And so even though we have the people who say, I'm already doing it, and we're like, but okay. So let's check it where you're coming from when you say that. But then the more we can have the voices of the educators, I think in the literature, it's just the better. So I just loved this story for that reason. And I loved the methodology that you guys used to write this piece.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of my go-to as a researcher, I'd probably even go farther and go to phenomenology, but certainly this narrative inquiry, these experiences, the experiences from real people in the field that are trying to not only read about it and talk about it, but implement it, about bring it to life, I think is really critically important, for sure. And I think I'm going to just follow up on your point about more dialogue. One of the things I'm really excited about that I hope will spur more dialogue is the new book that's coming out edited by Elisa Lowry. And I wrote a chapter in there that I'm really pleased about, that I hope spurs more discussion, and that should be out in 2020. And I think that that's exactly right. We need to keep digging. We need to keep having a discussion. We need to keep maybe having some disagreements about things so that we can get to deeper thinking. I think that's one of the things that at first really, what I loved about UDL is it made me think more deeply about what teaching and learning is all about, about differences between, and I'll say this, the difference between the medical model of disability and the social model of disability, and that, you know, how can we bring that to life in the classroom? So I agree that, you know, teachers' voices, people's voices, experiences are really critical, and more deep, thoughtful dialogue is going to bring us farther along, for sure.
I think so too. Well, thank you so much for being a part of this podcast, Kathy.
You're most welcome. Thank you for inviting me and congratulations on your podcast.
Thank you so much. Okay. So for those of you listening to the podcast, you can find supplemental materials like a recorded video of this interview with closed captioning and a transcript at my website, which is theudlapproach.com/podcasts. And the citation for this article that we discussed, as well as anything else that we might have referenced, but I don't think so. I think we just referenced this article. That'll be below this video on the YouTube station, which is UDL Research in 15 Minutes. That's the channel, I should say. And then finally, if you are a UDL researcher or you know of UDL research you'd like to hear about, contact me through my website, which is theudlapproach.com. I'd love to hear from you. And thanks to everyone for your work in revolutionizing education through UDL and making it our goal to develop expert learners.